This is a Gutter production.
So for the luck stuff, it's going to take a long time to roll rolls. Mm-hmm. So maybe we do that
off
mic after we record the first episode.
Okay.
Okay. And hopefully we don't need too much luck this episode.
Yeah, hopefully.
And if we do, we then take out a predatory dice roll loan from Ganon.
Yes.
You know, I was going to say, do we even need to do it at all before either of these episodes? We have plenty of luck, and then I remembered that Otter is at like 4 luck or something.
Otter's at 8 luck. And the thing is,
Jesus,
with this, start burning luck,
with this dice roll for the luck, it's actually you want to get higher in burst, right?
Right. So you're going to just be stacking.
And it's funny because I just did one test roll and I got 8, which would not have given me any more luck. but would have been a good normal Call of Cthulhu roll.
Yes.
So I burned it.
There you go.
Goodbye.
You guys ready?
Yes. All right. And
ready?
Ready.
The air is warm. A light breeze wafts the smell of mud and oil. Far off, you can hear explosive city life, but where you're standing right now, it's only a distant hum. You're right now standing at the dead end of a Gatto City alleyway, and looking down to the end of this dim alley, you see her. A very fat white cat with brown and gray spots and a bright red collar. Dorinda's cat, who I guess we've decided is named Blackout. She lets out a funny meow. She starts padding over to Scratch, walking up over to Scratch. Scratch, you've got blood dripping out of your mouth. You're kind of seizing a bit. I guess you're lying down or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You're lying down. You're seizing.
Probably being supported
you're
by
You're being supported by Scratch and Violet, and you just sort of like...
You mean Otter?
Well, I'm pulling myself up by my own bootstraps a little bit.
And Otter is not helping at all.
You're being supported by Otter and Violet, and your one bloodshot eye, like, flickers open for a second, and for a minute, your brain is registering that you see this.
Have you ever had an itch so bad that you're scratching it, and you're scratching it, and it hurts so much, but the relief of pressure makes your head light and you feel kind of like removed from reality for a second? Maybe this is just a thing because I have eczema.
Mm-hmm.
But that is kind of how Scratch feels inside and out. His cells have a burning itch, and yet there is a sense of relief pulsing through his nervous system.
Violet, Otter, what's the stage picture? What are we seeing?
Violet has one hand on Scratch's shoulder, and it, with the other arm, is holding up the Desert Eagle, which is a heavy gun, you guys. It's heavy. But they're holding it up, pointing out, just in case some other motherfuckers come down this alleyway, and is looking around with a lot of nervousness and starts noticing that Scratch is coming too, and says, Scratch, Scratch, are you okay?
Before you can respond, Otter is there, and he's got his dang shirt off. He was previously wearing a turquoise coach's jacket, which is now just on the ground, and his, let's say he was wearing a big oversized white t-shirt that said, Who farted? And he's fanning Scratch with it. Oh, he's trying to give him some fresh air to help expel the vapors, and you also just notice Scratch... Otter's mustache, which has always been there, as well as Otter's hot new hairdo, which is the same hairdo we had previously, sort of red boyish hairdo, but now he's got a long red rat tail. Looking
it's dark black.
Oh, it's turned red because of all the
the blood that's rushed to his head because he's embarrassed because he forgot the color of his rat tail. And it quickly turns back to black, fades to black, if you will. But yeah, he's fanning you and he's a fan of you. And that's supported in two different types of ways. And he looks back over at Blackout. He's confused, but he looks back at Scratch to give him a chance to react to what Violet just said.
Scratch, are you okay?
Scratch? Who's Scratch?
You.
Scratch Kelly.
I'm just kidding.
Oh my god. You just had like a seizure pass out after drinking that thing.
Yeah, yeah. You drink a... You weren't supposed to drink that. That's toxic as hell, but you just made a joke.
I remember being so thirsty, and I remember the feeling of liquid, but I don't remember seeing anything. And then I had dreams. I saw things, but I can't remember them.
A big pang hits you again, Scratch, and you start seizing again. Dorinda's cat, also known as Blackout, continues walking on down the alley, kind of does a big stretch and a yawn as you guys are sort of panickingly seeing Scratch, like, tripping out again. This cat lets out another meow and then hops up onto Scratch's lap and is just sort of sitting there. And sitting there, you start seizing less.
Does the cat purr?
Yeah.
Do its vibrations seem to... Scratch's seizures seem to sync with the slow, rolling thrum of this cat's purring.
Yeah.
And they slow until his breath becomes more manageable and his eyes calm.
Yeah. It's like you're feeling cold neuron activation popping off around in your head, and your mouth is tingling and your chest is vibrating with every breath you take. And then a pang, one last pang, like a huge migraine. Big pain. I'm going to need you to roll 1d6 damage.
Holy 1d6.
That's kind of a lot.
Do we have a little d6? Can I roll a physical one just for fun? Three.
Okay. That's extremely painful.
That would be like a
spike stabbing through your hand or something like that. Like, it's extremely painful. And then your eyes open.
And it's gone. That pain, I mean, it's still within me. The damage was done, but as if a great amount of time had passed in a single moment, the immediate wave and rush of pain subsides, and Scratch finds himself in a rather strange state of, could we even say, like a kind of contentment?
Yeah.
Or fear, both at the same time? Something new, something unfamiliar and exciting.
Yeah, you're like back in your body. The tingling in your head is dissipating, the pain is gone, and you're feeling different. Like you're more of who you're meant to be. Dorinda's cat Blackout hops off your lap and sort of does that little roll, the little face first roll on the ground, like showing her tummy a little bit.
And we're looking.
Somebody film this. Who's got a camera? Somebody film this.
Damn it.
This fucking cat. All right,
he must be feeling better.
Takes pictures.
He's asking to film a cat. Not in Gato City, Scratch. I don't think so.
Hey,
really? Is that not okay?
I don't know.
You guys,
I wouldn't.
I know this cat. This is Blackout.
Oh.
It's Dorinda's guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the cat from Dorinda's. I didn't recognize it without the earth-shaking orgasms happening from the other room.
Right. Yeah, that kind of took precedence.
That's right. Embrace it, man. Embrace it.
It's not about how long it takes. It's about the magnitude of the quake. Happened to be 1 second.
Oh, my God.
For her! It was 0 seconds for me. I come immediately.
Sure didn't sound that way.
That's because
it just
time...
kept doing it over and over.
Yeah.
Each one of those.
I got a special method I learned on the squash court accidentally.
Oh, my God.
They called it the squish court when you were down there. They called it the splash court.
they called it the cum court.
Anyway, back to this fluffy cat showing its belly.
You notice as she's rolling, like a little folded note falls out from her collar.
Otter snatches that up, and smells it.
It smells like Dorinda.
And then a 6.767 magnitude cumquake hits Gato City right away. Buildings are down. Just kidding. That doesn't happen. Otter rips it open.
It's just a folded up piece of paper, so you rip it in half.
Okay, come on.
No, so you and you're like, ah,
and
crud.
Then you
and then he unfolds
okay,
both halves and holds
and
them
holds
together.
No, it's funny. It's funny.
No, no, it does not happen. I'm a power gamer when it comes to opening
Scratch
up.
Scratch grabs it. He tears it. I'll make it so.
Okay,
and then Violet tears it again. They all have to hold pieces together.
Otter literally handles like parchment and old things. But yeah, he rips it.
You delicately open the folded piece of paper.
Delicately opens it.
Yeah, with rips.
And you see written in that iconic learned cursive, Dorinda's handwriting. And it reads, "To the three of you, I have made some discoveries in 24 hours since your departure. I cannot reveal the source for their safety in case of this document's interception, but I promise the veracity of these statements..." Hold on. She didn't proofread this. She wrote, "But I promise the veracity of these statements with my life and passion. These are as follows. Barry Treble is a leading member of a very secretive private club known as S-Fi. S-Fi is run by the Seven. Barry Treble is likely one of the Seven, and so was the senator who died in the Shaw Island explosion. There's a military contractor, a weapons engineer, a deep state, she doesn't, it's written, she doesn't hiccup, or she doesn't, you know, a deep state operative, a quote-unquote mystic, and a character described to me as an absolute fucking psychopath. The Black Book is critically important to S-Fi. Protect that book with your life. You may be tempted now to destroy the book, but I would encourage you to stay your hand, as these individuals seem content to have it destroyed in lieu of their stealing it back."
Otter takes the book out of his mouth where he was chewing it.
No, it's fine. No, we'll keep it safe.
"That's all for now. I hope to the endless black sky that you are safe. To Otter, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
Love. Love you.
I love
God,
you, Dorinda. Oh,
I love you."
Oh. Wow.
Final statement.
Jeez.
They have sex through the message.
Oh.
And there's a picture.
The final statement kind of rings alarm bells for you a little bit.
Oh.
But that's the last thing that's written.
Oh.
She's never kind of been that explosive with her declarations of love. They've usually
shit.
Been private, quick. So.
In that case, I am not doing little bits while she is saying that. I am... now concerned.
Yeah, I'll just send you guys this in the
That's
in-game.
What I was going to ask.
Oh,
and you just know.
Listener, if you read that message in your mind's eye with any hiccups and hitches, that's on fucking you, okay?
Yeah.
The message was perfectly written.
It was normally written
it
and
did,
it was good.
It didn't have funny Learned editing that person. Heightened the hiccups.
Nope.
That added reverbs to Gannon saying, what does it say?
That added maybe a little stutter effect, a do-do-do. Oh, God, why am I doing this myself?
No, Casey, I want you to make it a lot harder.
Okay, I'm only going to go moderate, okay? I'm going moderate. Listener, it's not that crazy.
And Otter's just sitting there holding the last part of that message deep in his belly right now, mm-hmm. And it is a sinking feeling that he is feeling. And he's looking at our little guy Blackout there, trying to see if there's any hint of intelligence in his eyes beyond the normal feline intelligence that all cats have, which is smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
But if Blackout has any of the Gato loquaciousness in him.
Ooh, is there a roll you can do?
There certainly is. Would this be natural world?
Yeah, try natural world, right? Because you're like, I know what a cat's like. Is this different than like a cat?
Yeah, because what if Blackout's just being quiet right now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes!
What'd you get?
Okay, I got a 58 and to get a success, it has to be below 60.
Okay. You're really looking at this guy. And from what you can tell, it's an ordinary cat. I mean, other than the context clues of, like, the guy scattering, it randomly finding you in this place, sitting on all those context clues seem to indicate probably something special about this cat. But just looking at the cat being like, what are you giving me? It's a really ordinary kind of flat, not even extremely cute, Well, if you owned it, it would be extremely cute, but it's the kind of cat where someone shows you a picture of it and you're like, oh my God, isn't he cute? And it's like, eh.
All right, well, Otter has seen a lot of things that his eyes have misled him on. So, sure, does this look like a normal cat? Yes, but he thought Gato City was just a trailer park, and here we are in this sort of hustling, bustling, very wild metropolis in the middle of the Olympic Peninsula. And Otter looks at Blackout and says, Blackout, I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying, but I hope to God and all of the powers that be that Dorinda and all the folk in Black Fork are doing all right and not having to pay the bill for what we've done. So you take care of Dorinda and you let Dorinda know that I love her too and that we are doing okay. All things considered, he looks over at Violet.
Violet has been reading and rereading this note, and in her mind, suspicion runs rampant. She's questioning everyone. Meet Stu. Like, it says a military contractor, a weapon engineer, a deep state operative, a quote-unquote mystic, a character described to me as an absolute fucking psychopath. Okay, a deep state operative. That could be anyone that we've met. It could be anyone. The mystic could be Dorinda. Like, it could be coming. The call could be coming from inside the house. She could be risking everything because she loves Otter to say, like, there's so many questions that are running through. And this is all happening. Then she hears Otter start talking to the cat and is like, okay, I got to write this down. So she starts writing the note because it appears that this cat cannot talk. And so we need to send another note back to Dorinda.
And Otter is saying, but Blackout, you have to be real with me right now. Can you talk? Can you talk here?
Blackout isn't even looking at you, sort of like, just kind of looking at the wall. Just looking at the wall of the alley.
If you can talk, talk twice.
Just kind of looking at
it. Otter starts making little sounds to go like,
starts doing the licking its butt.
All right, if the cat can talk, we can't depend on it to talk, so let's just put a note in. We're saying, I love you.
We're saying I love you. What can't we say? Is there something that if the note gets intercepted,
we might not want
to? I think we can't say most things, to be honest.
Well, we can say that we're doing okay.
We can tell her that Celsius goes crazy, Scratch says. She'll know that when I'm talking about the Celsius, I'm talking about the water and the juice, because it gives you a similar effect.
In Black Fork, we only have Water Joe, so maybe we should say Water Joe.
That Water
Joe goes crazy, though.
We can also say...
We should even not even put her name in it. Let's just say...
Crossing out Dorinda.
I'm writing.
Oh.
He
was crossing his tattoo out.
Mentally crossing
no,
it out.
Are you just rubbing your thigh?
I'm just rubbing my
saying,
thigh.
my love. My love.
Wow.
That's nice.
That Power. Water Joe... Sure goes crazy.
Scratch style. No, wait.
Nope.
Not scratch style. No. Right, style, then scratch it out.
Yeah,
she'll
okay.
She'll get it.
Ooh, style. Nice. A little
scratch
visual.
Scratch it out.
Yeah, Scratch
puzzle
is feeling it, actually. He's getting pretty excited.
Purple haze is my favorite weed. Violet. That's for Violet.
Oh.
Existing.
Oh, just for existing.
Just being still alive, I guess.
Okay.
Purple haze is so strong. How about that? Purple haze is so strong.
You can say we're handling business with my old pal GG. I mean, kind of direct. Oh, Pee-Pee the cat just chimed in to say to drop a couple bars.
Hey, I'm Pee-Pee the cat. I come in there to drop a couple bars. Oh, you guys look busy. I'm gonna go. Bye.
Pee-Pee the cat runs away, back down the alley the other way.
Oh, that cat, I want to kiss him, I want to hug him, I love him.
That cat is cute.
And I love you, I love you, I love you.
Well, hold on, let me say that. Okay. I love you, I love you, I love you.
You see Blackout, Dorinda's cat, sort of gets up from grooming herself and just starts walking down the alleyway.
Oh,
before taking the note?
Before taking it.
Come back.
Kind of walking down.
All right, we
can we try to call it?
Otter takes,
we
out,
run
a,
after
takes
her.
Out a little otter slop,
we
which
run
all
her,
cats love.
Gently enough to not alert her to run away and slip the note in the collar.
Okay, you are... I'm going to need you to roll for that.
Wow.
An agility.
Ooh.
Agility? Okay.
Can we? Can I do a supporting agility roll to try to see if I can...
Yeah, get two agility rolls going in there.
Oh, I rolled a 75. Woof. Great.
Okay, yeah, I got a regular hit.
Okay, regular hit is...
And Otter, did Otter failed because he had a boner from the message.
I start to move, like, ooh.
Actually, I just got to stand here.
Yeah, he rubbed his thigh a little too much.
No, it wasn't the thigh, it was the message. The thigh wasn't canonical.
The Violet speed walks over to Dorinda's cat, and it seems like you're catching up with this sort of, you know, but it's just like as much as you speed up, Blackout just always seems like just a few steps ahead of you and just kind of like just gently, like not even like trying to run away from you, but just somehow it's just like just a little bit too far ahead of you. And you know, you kind of run her down the alleyway and she's still like a, you know, like 10 feet ahead of you and turns around, yawns, and then walks down the alleyway into the street.
So I missed her?
You can keep following her.
When she stopped and yawned, I couldn't catch up.
But say you ran ahead, and as you ran ahead, she walks out into the street. Now you're looking out.
I'm going to keep following her.
All right.
Otter is now thinking that Dorinda works in mysterious ways, and her cat, if there's a message that this cat needed to take back, you know, how the fuck did this cat get here? Mm-hmm. Otter has faith. Otter has faith that the message that they need to convey will be conveyed without giving them this note. But the note was nice because it helped organize our thoughts. And it also got us to do a couple little puzzles, a little puzzle creation. Keep us aware.
Violet is still, again, slightly skeptical about following the cat in the first place, but continues to follow the cat.
Scratch, what are you doing?
My ass is just fucking laying, brother.
Okay, Otter's gonna scoop Scratch up.
Oh, my hero.
And this sort of familial manual labor makes Otter's boner go down immediately. Mm-hmm. Scratch is just a friend.
Yeah.
And
makes Scratch's boner go up, not in a sexual way, just in a being cared for kind of way.
And also, you got morning wood because you just woke up.
Yeah, I just woke up. Ew, that Celsius goes
healthy
hard.
Healthy man.
All right, Otter's carrying Princess, and he is walking down the alley.
Violet, you're still... So Violet, let's say Violet's just like a bit ahead of you speed walking and you're following Violet. So Violet and you're following Dorinda's cat. And it's sort of a... It's kind of a tight little street. There's lots of gattas about. You guys have started to notice that the gattas almost have like puppet-like features. Like you ever see like your little kitty cat at home and it's like sitting on a chair or something and it's just like moves in a funny way and you're like, I don't think you're a cat. I think there's a little guy puppeting you. It's like that sensation. It's like... Anyway, you're starting to notice that. Anyway, there's gattas on the street. Violet, you're trying to get up to this kitty cat. You're passing by a lot of bizarre sights, strange storefronts, and these sort of like this dirty, tubey industrial street. In these storefronts, you see things like strange factory arms sucking and digging around several gattos who are in a waist-high hole. You see a web of thousands of thread woven around an idol sitting beside a gatto who is inhaling smoke from a substance in a folded green leaf. You see in another thing a sight of butchery. A lamb-like pig creature is, its innards are being removed through the eyes carefully by gattos and blue ponchos, and the innards are like stringy, thin strings. It's just a bunch of very, you don't know what these guys are doing, and every store you look in is like totally alien. And anyway, it is really hard to keep up with Dorinda's cat, even though she's seems like she's just perpetually like 10 feet ahead of you, casually weaving in and out of the gattos who do not seem to pay her any sort of mind at all. One thing you guys are noticing about the gattos, though, in this part of town, which is not Bellston, where you started, you don't know what the name of this part of town, is they're all a little rougher. You notice some are missing eyes, some have kind of a cane or a leg prosthesis that's like very sort of like wiry and tubey and strange. I don't want to say steampunk. It's
sort of Victorian.
Little Victorian thing.
Do the ones missing eyes, does it look like, if you look a little closely, it almost looks like it's stitched closed?
Certainly. Like, yes.
And even their prosthetics, it's almost like you can see the string of the marionette or the kind of...
Oh, funny. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, it's almost like stop motion in the way they move or something like that.
Even the extensions of themselves carry this puppet-like quality.
But all of these gattas are kind of looking at you with kind of just like, what are you guys doing here? You don't see any other humans or any other types of creatures on this street. It's a weird vibe.
As Otter's carrying Scratch, following Violet, following Blackout, he's sort of looking and trying to give friendly nods, but not smile too much because he doesn't want to bare his teeth. Mm-hmm. But he's sort of mustache forward, got his whiskers out, trying to fit in as much as possible. And maybe he even he looks at one cat, and just while maintaining eye contact, he sticks his tongue out and licks the side of Scratch's face. Just to try and say, hey, we're cool, you know? I come to this place. I do things your way. I'm one of the cool humans.
You got to warn me before you do that when I have a boner, man. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. Just warn me when I have a boner before you do that, okay? I just want to make sure that I put up the mental barriers.
Sorry. I just was trying to fit in. Didn't mean to
wake up your pud. Right choice. It was the right choice.
Violet
does not notice any of this until they trip on a crack in the road or the sidewalk.
Trip over a cobblestone.
And just sort of like catches their balance and then finally takes a second to actually look around and see, rather than just laser focusing on Blackout, and notices like, ooh, everybody looks a little more rough and tumble. Like, clearly we've stumbled into a sort of more dangerous part of town, perhaps. But I gotta catch that cat. Mm-hmm. So can't worry too much, and keeps going.
Violet, you start to hear a very, kind of distressing noise, like a crowd. It's like it's distant, but it's getting louder and louder the more you follow Blackout. It sort of sounds like cats in heat.
Ooh.
But it's a lot, like hundreds.
Ooh, in the red light district.
There's like also like maybe some droning string instrument and like very strange drums, and the sound is getting louder and louder. You're still following Dorinda's cat.
Yeah, still following Dorinda's cat.
So you're like sort of like speed walking in Dorinda's cat's little butt shaking, and for a moment like you see like an owl fly above your head. It's flying sort of low, and it's pretty strange because all you've seen is gattos, and you just sort of see like this owl kind of like fly down the middle of the street. Anyway, you're following Dorinda's cat. She walks through like a hanging threshold out, and you're following her into a vast opening, like a square, like a big square. You're walking out into this grand square, and you're just like, it's a huge and grand sight where you're standing right now. High up in the sky, you can see Gatto City's rickety trams clattering past fine marble edifices on all sides of the buildings on the square high up. These glorious buildings rise pale blue and white with incredibly detailed statuettes depicting like gattos and gestures of triumph and like holding swords or like sort of like strength. As your eyes descend, taking in the buildings closer to street level, you see signs of like burning neon, like a weird, not neon, but like, and it's like declaring wares, total depravity energy drinks, Bubbo Nicotine Fun Zone, Porno Gatto Deluxe, you know, cruder pleasures paired against the high aspirations of this architecture. And now dead ahead, the source of this noise, you look ahead and you see a huge crowd. Just a huge crowd of gattos. These gattos are adorned in like veils and flowing ribbons. It looks kind of like it's not a riot, it's not a protest, but it feels like the energy is like strange. It seems like maybe it's a religious thing because there's some gattos who are like covered. You can only tell they're gattos by their size because they're like wearing these like really crazy tall, flowy like masks that totally cover their faces. And they seem, the crowd seems to be sort of like following these guys, and they're caterwauling all along, chaotically harmonizing with the strange string instruments, the drums. In the center of the square, you see a lumpy marble statue rising. It seems like they're sort of like marching around it, these hundreds of gattos. It's hard to tell what the statue depicts. It's lumpy. But yeah, they're marching around it. So you see Dorinda's cat. You see Blackout just, you know, like 10 feet ahead of you in this like big, beautiful square, sun shining down, just sort of like pads ahead, bloop, 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 right into this crowd and out of sight.
And Violet, in this moment, looking at this sort of gaggle of writhing cats and marble and weird masked cat creatures, just stops and turns 180 around, fully stop, arms down at their side, looking nonplussed and defeated back at Otter and Scratch, like...
Who are a city block away, by the way.
And
but
now,
tower above the gato, so we're still very visible.
Yeah. Violet is just straight up just standing there, like, well, well, we got this.
Did you see that owl that was flying around?
Scratch is also acting like he's out of breath, just so it seems like he wasn't as lazy and got here.
Yeah, Otter's still just carrying Scratch.
That was so weird.
Can you walk now? Are you good? Or
No. My baby boy can't walk yet. He's got nursing his damn. He was sick. He walked passed out.
I lost.
So sick.
Okay, I lost the cat. The cat is gone. There is no note.
He went up ahead in that. Holy shit, look at that crowd.
That was crazy.
Yep.
What?
Is there any gatos nearby who are just sort of also standing around that I can just ask a question to?
Yeah, there's like one sort of leaning up against the door of the energy drink store.
Hey there, mech.
Here, I made a gato generator. Let me see what this guy looks like. Eight. Sorry, that's just me saying eight over and over again.
Their name is number eight.
Eight. Okay, I am actually saying another eight. That's a different eight.
If you roll eight again, I'm going to eat my shoe.
Five.
Oh, thank God.
Okay,
so
you see a giant-eyed, sort of skittish-looking, gray-furred, like Russian blue gatto who's sort of like eyeing these guys and has sort of like kind of rough robes on, but not dressed like them, not flowy robes or anything, just like a little belt buckle around and some big boots, and it's just sort of like
Otter looks over at this customer and says, hey there, Kitty Carlisle, name's Otter, passing through, as you can see, not a gato, but would love to be one.
Looks over, just blinking at you with big eyes. Hello.
Did we come during some kind of holiday? What's going on here?
Oh, it's the Kinnikesians is a, this is a kid, they're just a bizarre, strange religious, don't let
you
them.
The Kinnikesians?
Kinnikesians. Kinnikesians, just don't say anything to insult them, because they can be rather dangerous. I'm just trying to make sure they don't mess with my nice store, but if they do, there's really nothing I can do that's, but they're a strange bunch. It's best to keep distance.
Thanks for the tip. What's their deal?
Yeah.
Oh, they think that we need to be reunited with the Tooth of Ek. Right?
Really? The Tooth of Ek? Really? Why would they think that? What is the Tooth of Ek?
That's a good idea. Maybe we stick back together with the Tooth of Ek.
Yeah. Hey, what if we just, us and the Tooth of Ek, just get back together?
Yeah. It's preposterous. And for our friend Violet here, who doesn't know what that is, maybe you could define what the Tooth of Ek is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's my first time. I'm so sorry for my ignorance.
Violet, you don't know what the Tooth of Ek is? Yo,
no, I guess you haven't been here long. He's, he created the gatos, although they don't call it gatos. Gatos is, there's a human, they say, it's a human word, we're not gatos. We are Kinnikesians.
Kinnik, interesting. Oh. I'm making the connection right now in my head.
Kinnik is in moving, movement.
Kin of Ek.
Kin of Ek.
So the Tooth of Ek is Ek's tooth.
Yes. He's a
symbolic.
Don't really know. It's he was a piece of something of a great being known as Ek, but he fell in battle to the mother, of course.
Of course.
Is there some literature on the history of this great...
Yes! There is. I mean, they'll have it, of course. It's a little,
I'm a little
zealotous.
Yes, I'm intimidated to go anywhere near it.
Don't worry, buddy. We're skeptics, but we like to be informed of the opposition's kind of viewpoints, you know.
Not even the opposition, just other people.
Just other people.
There's a library up the way. You might be able to find a book or two there. But yes, there's many things written in the history of the small and youthful but profound history of the gatos. Eyes bulge, blink.
I love this guy. Hey, Kitty Carlisle, what's your name?
Birkin.
And they don't have like a problem with what do you call us? Human folk.
I call you long legs.
Long legs. You know what? Makes me feel good because I'm not as tall as I'd like to be.
Me neither.
Brother, pound
it. Two inches shorter than the average.
Is that true, too? And that for you, for that, that's like 2 inches.
All the freaking ghetto ladies, they don't even look my way.
No, it's that attitude.
I even own an energy drink store, and I'm trying to hit on them all the time when they come in.
Maybe you're trying a different approach, Birkin.
I think there might be a little bit more going on, but...
Can I try one of those energy drinks?
Yeah.
They're Fahrenheit.
Here, I've got a fistful of pop tabs for you.
Oh,
we got to
thank you.
Spend them or use or lose
thank
them.
You.
He drops.
He takes some of the tabs. Let's just say this: all the tabs you somehow picked up while you were with St. Mark's.
Yeah, Otter hasn't been saying this, but he has been picking up every collectible item in Gato City, and
we've got like 47 of the 50 flags right now. It's
and he's
exciting.
Been speed running this as well, just running around picking things up as quickly as possible in a very antisocial way.
Roll 2d20.
2d20. Okay.
Beautiful.
16. 8. I think it's an 8.
Where was that when Gannon was rolling all his 8s?
Yeah.
Numbers. We love them.
We love them. 16. And hey, and guess what? 16 is 2 8s.
Whoa.
8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8.
So Birkin is like, just wait here a second. And sort of nervously walks back into the building in a little nervous kitty cat way. Comes back out with an Ashok, which it looks like a human like energy drink. Like it looks like it's like. It looks like someone found an empty energy drink and, like, filled it back out so it was, like, the shape of an energy drink thing. Like, it's, like, slightly dented, but it's not dented. You know, you can just see where the dense ones were. And Birkin hands you this Ashok. They look like this. Hold on. I'm going to show you the Ashok logo because it's real.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, it looks like that. You know, it's just like a normal...
Ooh, okay.
So this sort of puppety cat's handing you this energy drink and says... This one I made to go really good when you need a little extra brain power. It's for thinking.
Ooh. And that I do.
Scratch tries to drink it immediately.
Yeah. No, you're banned from drinks.
You're patting his tongue like...
Thanks so much, Birkin. You're a real cool cat.
Violet drinks half and then hands Otter the other half of the can. You want half?
I'm good to hold on to it for later.
Birkin,
this right away.
Birkin, I don't mean to be barking up the wrong tree, but can be barking up the wrong tree was my meaning. Is that offensive to you? Is that like
no,
a
dog? No, it's just kind thing? Of a seems like an affectionate sort of affectation.
Oh my god. Well, yes, it was that was the intent. Can we maybe get a couple to go? Or no, we don't have enough money for that.
You can barter. We're like love bart. I'm like a nervous cat with big eyes, so I like to barter a little bit. I kind of have a British accent, too, that I was kind of doing at first that I kind of dropped, but I'm going to keep doing it. Oh, we can barter. We can certainly barter.
I gave you a bunch of tabs right away, just sort of, you know, maybe being naively generous. I'm going to actually need those back now, and let's figure out precisely how much that
okay.
other one costed.
I'll take that one back, too.
Did that one cost the amount?
I drank half.
It caught that amount.
It cost that amount?
You were drinking
okay.
it?
I drank half.
All right, I'm not taking
half
it back.
It's the whole thing. Half it's the whole thing.
Fine, I'm drinking the whole thing.
Wait, what the hell? You gave that to me.
Yeah. No, he means you got to pay for if you drink half, you got to pay
for
it.
Oh, yeah, of course. We'll pay for the whole thing. Yeah, I gave you the other half.
You did drink it?
Yeah, I drank half of it.
Okay, you're drinking it. Let's say. Yeah. You know, it's big. It's taking you a minute to
drink it. I'm drinking it.
It tastes like a crazy ass energy drink, and it's giving you bubbles.
Woo!
And are those worms in your belly?
Oh, I just had that bubble hiccup.
All right, you know what? I'm not trying to do another transaction. Scratch, if you want to barter for some crap, go talk to Birkin. Birkin's in his bag over there, surely, ready to... It's a Birkin bag joke.
Nah, I just really... Honestly, I'll be honest. I
bought Dorinda a Birkin bag once. She did not care for it.
Oh, she doesn't seem materialistic.
That's like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and
not out in the warp. Not out in the warp. You just... You know, trade a Star Wars action figure for it.
And doesn't that go to show the character of Dorinda? I really just want to say Birkin up the wrong tree. I could have said anything. I could have said, hey, I don't mean to be Birkin up the wrong tree, but like, is the sky blue? You know.
Hey, Birkin, it's been real. We're going to go walk over there now.
It's better. I think I should get inside. Goodbye.
We look at the crowd. Is the crowd now like more rhythmic and jumping up and down and a little more giving Birkin signs that it's time to go inside?
Yeah, you can see they're like, you notice that they're like, to your distress perhaps, you notice that these gattas are like holding up like these like dirty earthy, rotting things. And as you're looking at them, it's like they're like half decomposed, like Gatto corpses. It looks like they were just like dug up or something. And they're like raising them up, and they seem to be raising them in like a rage, like to make a point or something. And like, and these sort of like Gatto like spiritual leaders or something in these flowing robes are sort of like dancing around and like swinging like these batons.
Otter is watching all of this, and the years are pulling back, and he is remembering before he played a squash tournament, specifically in a country that was having like political unrest. There was some sort of like travel advisory that was like, hey, here's like a guide on hostile crowd management for travelers who are going to places that are like undergoing civil unrest, because he would play squash tournaments all over the world. And he's remembering like all of the signs of, you should maybe get towards the edge of this, like you don't want to be around here too much longer. So is there this large square? What is sort of the perimeter of it? Are we on it? Are we in a place that has any sort of cover for us to like watch a little more obscured?
Yeah. I mean, you could watch it from like within one of these stores or something, but you can also sort of like hang back against the wall, and you can probably be fine doing that.
Okay. Otter, still carrying Scratch, like looks over at Violet and is like, hey, let's go get on the perimeter
real quick.
You're finishing up that energy drink now, and you're feeling hyper and aware.
What the fuck, you drank the
and
whole thing?
You're getting kind of the sativa kind of feeling of like, you can just feel your thoughts thinking stuff really, really, really fast. Like, sort of scaring you a little bit how fast you're thinking, but you are like, your brain is like, you could just really feel how smart you are.
I think that maybe we should go over there and we should ask them a question, someone who's standing in the crowd, like really closer in the crowd, and maybe we'll find out more about what's going on here, and we can help.
Violet's eyes are like vibrating.
They're vibrating.
Vibrating. Violet, you finished half of the energy drink, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I finished finished the whole energy drink.
Oh my god.
And I finished it. I'm so sorry. I finished
you
the whole
already
thing.
And before you even said that, you had already crushed it against your forehead.
And it was not an aluminum can, it was a steel can.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
what do you think? Should I go over there? Should I ask them a question?
No, you should not. Look at this. They're jumping around. This is hostile as hell.
Then maybe we have to get out of here.
One detail, as they get even more fervent in the way they are raising these half-decomposed bodies up, can we say it's like in the Muppets when they throw a Muppet to indicate that it's like Miss Piggy kicks it and it flies. Like they're flopping like uninhabited stuffed little puppets.
Yeah.
And it's like both horrific because of the context, but also it still maintains a certain kind of almost comical vibe.
Can Otter and Violet, you can say no, but like Otter would like to make one more gesture to kind of get over to the side. And maybe if there's any way that we can like elevate ourselves a little bit.
Ooh.
Perhaps outside one of these stores, there's like pillars and the pillars have a like base.
You actually do notice there's a building. It's sort of like a fancy scaffold where it's like open, like a scaffold, but you can like, it looks like public. So you can just like, so you like, it's like four stories tall. So you like walk up to the, I don't know, second, third floor or something like that.
One question that I don't know that we've fully addressed is, is this city Gatto-sized or is it human-sized?
Human-sized.
Okay,
it's
so
big.
So when we go into buildings and stuff like that.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. No, yes, the
like the doors are like, we have to crouch to get into doors. They're maybe big for Gattos but small for humans.
Such a great question. So the last episode, everything was like, you know, maybe a little short, but like basically accommodating for you. You have noticed that thinking about this in this part of town, it's a lot more like Gatto size.
Yeah.
It's a lot more like.
I'm imagining that like even some of this like buildings are like, we don't have to take too many steps to actually get up the steps.
Yeah.
Could there also be like, though, it's like there are still tall ceilings in many buildings, but they just have more loft structures that are kind of like cat highways and
constant
stuff like that, you know, because they're
I couldn't remember if we talked about that last episode.
I think we may have.
We did,
because,
briefly,
I forgot to.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Now that's right up there with burking up the wrong tree.
So we're getting up a little bit higher, like you said, on that one building. Although as we were walking up, Violet is like, Okay, let's get a better look, but I also think that maybe we should try to get the fuck out of here, because I'm starting to feel really creeped out, and we lost Dorinda's cat. They keep talking about how we're going to get stuck here forever, and I don't even know where Meat Stew is anymore at this point. Shouldn't we start looking for Meat Stew?
He said he was going to find us, and also, you were following Blackout into that crowd, and Otter is going to hold Scratch up still and be like, Scratch, do you see any sign of Blackout? They went into the crowd.
As he holds him just enough of the Lion King song that I think I can get away with.
All of the cats. Plays.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
I literally, and this is my brain right now, I had a question earlier that I was leading up to asking, and I don't remember if I asked it.
I forgot if I asked it,
and so I don't know the answer, and it does affect the next thing, so I'm going to bring it up. Did I ask him, when I was talking about, like, what do you call us, long legs?
Yeah.
Did I ask him what these zealots think about long legs? Like, do they have a problem with us?
I think he started to ask that, but I don't think he answered that.
Okay. Oh, so we don't know.
So we don't know.
We're not talking to somebody.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah.
Shoot.
Okay, but you're being held up. And, you know, maybe I'd say do a spot hidden roll, but because you have so cleverly gone up to the, let's say you're on the third floor, it's proper, maybe like 2.5 for a human or whatever. You did clever stuff, so you don't need to make a roll for it. You look out and you see on the other side of this, these guys are just like really throwing these corpses up. Then beyond this crowd, you do see Dorinda's cat sort of sitting behind them. And
Blackout! And then the episode ends. Oh no, what did I do?
It was too short. The episode was too short. Our fans have come to expect slightly longer episodes than this.
I mean, we are 10 minutes still.
Yeah, when we're 10 minutes still, we have to be very careful when we say Dorinda's cat's name, because it might spontaneously end the episode.
That's a good call.
It's like, if we say Blackout with too much enthusiasm, it happened again. Banana.
Oh, yeah. Also, we can't wait to meet the other character named Interlude.
Okay, just here in the interlude, alone, waiting for my friends to show up. It's already 15 after. If nobody shows up, I get to go home. I should call them, I should see where they are. Okay, let me see, I'm pulling out my phone. Here in the interlude alone, and I am, oh my god, would you believe that? I've got 3 missed calls and 3 voicemails from my friends. Oh, geez. What's this going to be about? Let me see here. First one, we got Eleni. Let's go ahead and play that. What did Eleni say? Where are you, Eleni?
Hey guys, I can't make it to the interlude recording tonight because I have a cat on my lap and she's not gonna move, and I'm stuck. I'm like seriously stuck. The cat is on my lap. She's been laying here. She's purring and she's so warm and comfy. And oh, Maymay. Oh, what's that, Maymay? Oh yeah, okay. She's reminding me that to make sure that you guys mention the voicemail. Tell folks to leave us voicemails. They can call 773-666-A-GUN-2486. And leave us a voicemail about anything. Ask us a question. You know the drill. You know, say all that stuff. And then people will call and they'll give us voicemails. And then they'll either say cute things or, I don't know, they'll ask questions that eventually make it into another voicemail episode. Oh my god, the cat is so good. I love being in cat paradise. Okay, I'm gonna go, and yep, I will... You guys can do this without me. Like, you really don't need me. Okay, Maymay.
Huh. Okay. Well, I guess that is pretty serious. I mean, I wish it wouldn't happen every other recording, but I guess that's just where we are. Okay, fine. Well, Lenny won't be here. That's fine. We'll move on without her. Let me listen to Mike's voicemail here. Maybe he's just running a little behind.
Casey, it's Mike. Hey, dude, I am so sorry, man. I am not going to be able to make it to the interlude recording. I actually was on my way to your apartment from my apartment, and when I was in the hallway between our two apartments, I heard this loud sound coming from outside, like a bumping bass. It was a party trolley. And dude, the guys on the party trolley are so cool. They actually grabbed me and brought me onto the party trolley. And I guess the party theme that they're doing is sort of like a ski masks and like realistic looking prop guns. I think they're prop guns. They're heavy and they're cold to the touch. And I think they have live ammo. But it's all cool. It's all cool. Nothing to worry about. But yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it to the interlude. Just say something about how if our listeners go to gutter.show/watch, they can catch us stream once a month and also catch all of our episodes on YouTube where they can like, comment, subscribe, the works. Just say something like that. Thank you so much for doing the interlude on your own and for editing the episode. The leader of the party trolley said that we're actually going to a bank now to go make a withdrawal. And then he said, something like that, like an ominous laugh. But it's cool. The energy's amazing. I've just been yes-anding all of this energy. And I will see you later, dude. Have a great night. I know I will. Shout out to our listeners. Ciao. Mike loves you. Mwah.
Wow. Okay. I passed that same party trolley on my way back to the apartment earlier, and they said nothing. So, critical hit my ego. Well, whatever. Mike's off having the time of his life. Eleni's got a cat on her lap. But at least Gannon is going to be here. I'm sure he's going to be here. I just got to listen to his voicemail and see what it's all about. Pressing play.
Hello, Mr. Tony. This is Damien at Patterson Debt Collection Services. We've been trying to reach you regarding an outstanding...
Oh, well, that wasn't Gannon. And delete. There we go. God, these debt collectors are stressing me out. I sure hope more people sign up for the Gutter Patreon so that I'll have a little more scratch to spend at the slots while I avoid all these debt collectors. Oh, wait. Text just came in from Gannon. Okay. That's... Just says, jorkin' it. Okay. Well, you know what? I don't really want to record an interlude either. Who do I call? Oh, right.
Hey, listener, it's Casey. I just wanted to let you know that I won't be able to make the interlude today on account of the fact that I sat down on a bumblebee and got blowed up real big like a blueberry. So, if you could just do the interlude yourself and just remember to talk about our phone number, 773-666-A-GUN, our, you know, YouTube channel that you can access, gutter.show/watch, and also watch our streams there, our monthly streams. And then, of course, our Patreon, where we have the Gutter Talk talkback episodes the week after main feed releases, and we have the entire Gutter Core series of prequel episodes, as well as other fun surprises, such as the second half of the voicemail episode that released not too long ago. Yeah, other than that, I'm sure you can totally handle it, and just, you know, have a good, I guess, second half of the episode, too, if I don't see you before then. Okay, well, I'm going to roll over to my EpiPen and pop that sucker.
This episode of Gutter is sponsored by Hero Forge.
Violet, Otter, it's me, Scratch. If you're listening to this tape, then it means my dark prophecy was correct. I got sucked into cyberspace after insulting an Etsy witch on an internet forum. But look, I've been digging through the pages of my archive, and I think I found just the way out. Think about it. The place where you make ideas come to life. Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customized tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. With a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options, Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home. Meaning, you could design me, Scratch Kelly, on HeroForge.com. I could possess the digital model from here in cyberspace, then you could print me into existence itself. In theory. But that's not all. Hero Forge also has custom printed dice where they'll stick your favorite mini, in this case me, floating inside a die. Or you could even put that mini, me, in this case, on a keychain. Hero Forge custom acrylic keychains are printed at the same scale as the rest of Hero Forge minis and arrive already attached to a high-quality zinc alloy lobster clasp, so you can take your favorite character, in this case me, wherever you go. And if you can't quite capture my likeness, it's okay. Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options, adding new parts every week, so check back in and see what you missed. Listen, Violet, Otter, or anyone who finds this tape, visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today. It may just be the only way to set me free. And if it doesn't, well, at least you got a Scratch Mini to keep you company.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man.
Oh, hey, Gannon, Alenia, Casey, it's Mike. You guys won't believe this. I got stuck in space.
Yup.
My damn spaceship broke down by the asteroid belt. I guess that's because it's Orbital Blues Month starting April 1st on BackerKit. Orbital Blues is an RPG from Soul Muppet Publishing about sad space cowboys, where your crew of desperate and downtrodden outlaws travel across a music-infused space western universe, filled with retro future technology, plagued by heartbreak and the haunting shadow of the blues. And in April, there's a spaceship full of new Orbital Blues projects such as Outlaws and Corporations, a uniquely printed book filled with NPCs, adventures, and setting inspo, as well as my personal favorite, Formula Infinity, a high-octane space racing adventure complete with bespoke racing mechanics, new character options, and a star system of new planets to explore. And that's just the tip of the space iceberg. Each project comes with a soundtrack from Behold, and hey, you're listening to a little bit of that right now. Check out Orbital Blues Month on BackerKit to see the full list of projects and backer rewards now through the end of April. Now, can someone ship me a backup warp drive? Because I think I broke mine, and I'm running out of beans, and I'm getting hungry. So get me the hell out of here. Help me, please.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rinda's cat, you see, kind of walks off down that alleyway behind these guys.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Well, we gotta get around.
Is there a path around, maybe on building rooftops or something like that,
ooh,
that we could, like...
Oh, that's a fun kind of question. Well, we did talk about, like, there's verticality built kind of everywhere.
Uh-huh.
For the tree cats.
But there, it's narrow. It's, like, made for kind of a person who's about half your size or something.
Not with my childbearing hips, yeah.
But, I mean, you could try to climb or, like, kind of maneuver vertically around these guys.
I'm going to do it. I'm ready. Gotta go, and I'm going to run across this thing, and I'm going to catch that cat.
And once again, we are following Violet.
Violet, excellent. I like this so much. Violet, can you please roll? I would say, I think climb might work.
Not dexterity again?
Holy shit. My climb is good as hell.
Oh, your climb is good as hell?
Yeah.
Roll.
Well,
you're leading the charge.
You're
so
leading
like,
the charge. I'm still carrying Scratch, which is how I climbed up here with my good climb.
Let's do a dexterity roll. Yeah, we'll do a dexterity roll. A climb roll will do you better.
Maybe that would get us to like a higher point where it's like a very clear path, but we can kind of...
Exactly, yeah. Like climb is specified. Dexterity is just the sort of skill.
My climb and dexterity are the same.
Oh, nice. I passed.
Okay, right on. Okay. So, Violet, you kind of like... You notice there's like this kind of marble path kind of sloping up past these statuette edifices, and you pop out. You step out of the glorified scaffolding, and you see this little path for Gatos, and you start sort of like going one foot after another, and it sort of goes up. There's like little stairs, so now you're probably like, now you're like three stories, like for a human, like up above these guys. So you're pretty high, yeah, and you're seeing these guys, and they don't see you. They're caught up in their own shit, but you're making your way kind of slowly to be careful, but you're okay.
In pursuit... Otter,
just real quick before Otter pursues them, I do think this is an important moment for Scratch because Otter probably couldn't get by carrying me with what we have to do. So Scratch tells Otter, I think I was enjoying it, honestly. I feel like I've been able to walk for a while, but I was enjoying it. But
so we're having this conversation. You're like, it's all right to put me down, coach.
It's all right to put me down, coach. Like footsteps in the sand. This is when I walk behind you or whatever.
I was waiting for this day, Scratch, ever since I picked you up earlier this day. And Scratch puts you down.
And then can I do, it's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. There's like a little dance number where I go to the left, I'll go to the right, my legs wobbling. And then, you know, do like a little pratfall, but then I land and I'm like, oh my God. I feel steady. I feel like lighter than I did before. And he does like a couple little hops and shakes the scaffolding a bit too much, but he's feeling spry.
And that'll be the burpees we did the other day.
Yeah, yeah, wow, those are real.
Your muscles have finally recovered stronger than they were. And now that I put you down, I'm feeling light as hell too. And Otter shoots up into the sky, 30 feet into the sky, with a golden climb hit.
That's right, a golden climb hit.
Golden hit.
Golden hit.
He climbs so high. He's looking from the clouds above Gato City. He's a bird without a cause. That's how free he is, but then he remembers his cause, which is to follow Violet.
Dives like a peregrine falcon or a fighter jet.
He's just climbing normally, but he's climbing quite well.
He's climbing good. You make it up to Violet in like a second. Like you are right up there. You are spry.
On the Patreon, there's a full 20-minute long Otter sort of spider into the spider versus the Post Malone, Ray Schremmerd,
what's up,
Sunflower song is playing as Otter is having his decadent climbing moment.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to make
Patreon.
That now.
And yeah, I'll make that.
And now we're following Otter.
Otter is climbing on the other side. He manages to get to the other side of this like square, and he like goes around like the long
ooh.
Way, so that we have sort of a pincer formation in pursuit.
Then Scratch will have to go straight through.
Oh, that's a 2. 6.
Oh shoot!
Which is
26. That's
a hot hit.
Ooh,
and so, and honestly, here's the thing, Gannon. This is fucking crazy. What a crazy show. What a crazy show with just a couple of kooks. But since we talked about the pincer formation, and I jokingly said Scratch goes straight through, in this moment, can Scratch notice like a
wire that crosses the square with, like, you know, some flags on it or something, that I do a little zip line. Is that a little too crazy for the zipline show? This grounded little
show. Did it need a golden hit for that?
No, I think a hot hit would do. Because a golden hit would be to, like, prance upon it like a tightrope walker.
Okay, so there is a rule in Call of Cthulhu where you roll luck, and if you pass luck, you do find the thing you're looking for, but... Also, it is... We'll just do it just for fun.
Just do it just for fun.
Do it just for fun, and we'll just...
And you'll never do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Listener, that's how much we love.
No, you can do it. You can always, anytime you're like, hey, is there like a shotgun in here or something? You can just roll for luck and see if it.
That's crazy.
Wait, so are we letting Casey roll? Are we letting Casey roll for luck right now?
No, yeah. I think he's just roll for luck, or it is there.
Oh,
Casey's gonna roll for luck the episode before we reset our luck to normal amounts.
Roll your luck.
Okay. Fuck you, Gannon. Fuck you, Mike, for getting it wrong and turning him from whatever to whatever.
You're lashing out at all your allies right now.
I'm re-rolling.
No, you have to spend your luck. What'd you get?
I got a 70.
This was such a stupid thing for me to do because it would make sense for there to be things. Don't just cut.
It's fine. No. I'm not gonna cut it.
Guess what?
I got a 70. I have 54 luck. It would.
I have a fun idea.
What's your fun idea?
Is there is one in front of you, and you are like, I got this, baby. You sling onto it.
And then...
Immediately breaks.
And then I swing.
And then you are swinging.
That is... honestly, Gannon, I'm totally cool with that, and the hot hit is literally me just not falling off this rope.
Yes. Perfect. Okay, so Scratch cleverly espies a, like, cable that, like, has, like, a bunch of Gatto City symbols or... flags and things on it.
And
you
little
see,
shoes.
You see that.
Oh, yeah.
And you see that. And you're like, I'm gonna
zip line
down. So you, like, what do you use to zip line? A shirt or something?
Yeah, let's say.
Scratch's Otter's
belt.
Who farted shirt.
Which is, by the way, made of strong polymers. It's not a normal shirt. It gives Otter a rash when he wears it, actually.
Belt makes the most sense, but a who farted shirt is kind of a funny thing to use as a thing to hold on. But you know what? No, let's say...
penis?
Let's say it's his penis. He runs it through the piercing on the tip of his dick.
I'm making an executive decision. You whip your belt off. Your pants stay up.
And this, how about this, Gannon?
Okay.
And just the thing about the belt is Scratch is also a little bit worried that he'll let go. So he, like, is able to latch the belt around his wrist.
Okay.
And this is what ends up making him not immediately fall when the...
Okay, so you've got your belt out. You wrap it around your wrist. You sling it onto the thing. You're like, I'm a fucking different guy. This rock.
Yes.
Zipping down. And you're zipping. And the flags are, like, sort of, like, flipping off behind you. And then all of a sudden, you hear a crack. And then you're like, uh-oh. You grab onto the cable with both hands. And now you are swinging just, like ahead. Like, you're diving down. Three stories, two stories, one story.
Can I take off the head of one of their religious icons?
let's say you zip. I'm gonna.
It's gonna be bad.
Unless you're like, they'll kill you.
Yeah, don't. I mean,
I'm gonna. Okay. It's a your foot narrowly avoids some mummified old Gatto's face that they're holding aloft, and they're all looking at you, and you're going, ah! And you zip over to the other side, you let go, bam, you fall on the cobblestones. Give me a one. Yeah, let's just say you take one damage from that.
One damage.
Can we just cut really quickly to Scratch's Prince Albert piercing, which the actual ring of is a tiny Petruvius, and it looks into the camera and says, oh, you should have used me.
Darling, come back inside. It's time for dinner. Oh.
That's a little butthole piercing, the big long bar that keeps your cheeks together.
That's
what the
hell?
Is that a thing?
I feel like I've, like, seen
like
that.
A snake bite for
sounds
butt
like that
cheeks?
Hurts a lot.
Yeah.
They got snake bites on butt cheeks?
Maybe only as jokes, but maybe that's based on something we said in Neoscom.
Listener, call into 773-666-A-GUN if you have a snake bite butt cheek tattoo that holds
piercing.
Your butt cheeks together.
Hold your cheeks together.
Don't tell piercing, us. Not I tattoo. Don't want to know.
Otter, Violet, you guys are you know, shimmying around, and you see Scratch wipe out.
After screaming loudly also.
you make it to the other side and you climb down, and now you're on the same side as Scratch.
No, I kept going. No. Yeah, Otter is concerned. Oh, no, what the? Oh, fucking hell, he's trying to stay positive, but...
So we look
this
back.
This guy walk once on his own, and he George of the Jungles right into a hostile crowd, like a... Oh, stay positive, Otter. Stay positive.
Scratch puts his thumb up like he expects you guys to clap for the stuntman who pulled off the crazy trick, man. I'm okay!
Violet turns and looks back at the crowd.
They're looking a little warily at you guys.
So we've fully drawn their attention?
Let's say the music is still going, but they're like... I mean, that was a crazy thing to do. They're all just sort of like...
Otter takes his shotgun out and starts blasting into the crowd.
Just kidding.
So if they're not like looking...
They're not like going to attack you or whatever. They're just like... They're just looking at you and they kind of go... Back.
Otter, seeing that the crowd is sort of like now their attention has been gathered, Otter puts two hands to each side of his mouth and says... Felines and gentle gatos, Scratch Kelly, traveling acrobat for your amusement.
Scratch stands and like holds his arms out and his hair is fucked up and he's got a bloody nose, which is just adding to the blood from earlier that he only barely wiped off after his Celsius experience. And he's like looking to the crowd again, waiting for them to erupt and be as excited about what he just did as he is.
Violet has put their back of their shirt over their head to kind of sort of hood themselves.
Oh, you're looking very gotcha-like.
Your extremely observant and smart energy drink powered brain is thinking, this doesn't feel like a good idea.
Even my dumb brain is thinking that.
and
Violet starts just walking away from Otter and Scratch, and it's like, you guys, no. And she turns towards Dorinda's cat,
mm-hmm.
who is still somewhat
yeah,
closer.
It's just in the alleyway. It's sort of like, it's just been sitting there, and it's almost like it was waiting for you. And it starts to walk down the alleyway.
And Violet once again starts running after it, and is like, blackout!
Not quite. But close. You're close.
And Otter, still trying to make the best of the situation, says, everyone, if you like what you saw, you're going to want to come to Birkin's Energy Drinks tomorrow night, where we will be doing a matinee and then a late night blue show.
Silence, long legs!
Can I just say, what are they called? Kinox?
Connects.
I'm giving it to you to work off your memory here.
Kin of X, get in free. We're cool with
silence.
This.
Okay. Shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Shut up.
Shutting up.
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
They're like
Scratch
looking at you, sort of mad.
You got yelled at by
Otter is looking, and he starts kind of doing grooming motions and looking non-bothered, not trying to hold eye contact with who's screaming, but also in his periphery, who is screaming?
You see walking up, it's not one of the priests, they're sort of like dressed in like these, there's like a ribbon like down the center of the face that sort of obscures the mouth and eyes a little bit, and like these sort of like ribbony clothes. This gatto sort of walks from the crowd to you, and the music is sort of stopping now. Like, you kind of have drawn their attention.
There's a record scratch.
There's a record scratch.
Record scratch.
And he says, you are turning our sacred ceremony into buffoonery, long legs. Our sacred ceremony into buffoonery. Now is your opportunity to leave before we have a real problem, long legs.
And that's all we need.
Okay.
And we are sorry. That's our bad. Just want to say, love what you're doing.
Love it.
We hate the other long legs. Honestly, if we could, we'd be gatos. But we're not, so we're leaving.
We're leaving.
And?
Disgusting skunda.
We are nasty. We are nasty, nasty.
Disgusting skunda.
Scratch wrapped up in the excitement of the scenario is like, but I feel like that's going to get a lot of people to come to our show.
No, shut up. Otter is trying to dismount.
Wait, do we
from
have a
the,
show?
Dismount from
Where
the scaffolding that he's in, and he's trying to get down, and he's holding from the top of the scaffolding, and his pants fall down a little bit because the belt that Scratch used was actually his own belt somehow.
Oh.
And his pants start falling down, and his just pale butt cheeks are just flapping now in the wind. He's doing this so unelegantly.
Come on, Otter. And Scratch goes to give you a hand, and for once, Scratch perhaps is strong enough
to help you out.
Yeah, your full fist goes right up Otter's asshole.
Okay, all right, we're going to cut to Violet now. Violet, you have fully stepped away from these guys. You fully just hustled down the alleyway that Blackout walked down, and you're just following Blackout again. You hear the shouts from behind, and
oh my god, what the fuck is happening? This cannot be happening. What? I drink the energy drink. Okay, where's the cat? Oh my god, we have to get out of here.
Hey, Violet. I found you. And you see at the further down the street, the booming voice. It's Meat Stew.
Sweet.
And Violet.
Sweet Meat.
Violet looks up at Meat Stew with a big smile that does not meet her eyes. Her eyes look extremely concerned and her brow is furrowed and she's like, "Oh, good. I'm so glad you found us. We really need to go right now. We need to leave."
That sounds like a great idea. The rest of the guys here, they were following you, right?
Cut back to them in some other...
Yeah, we now are completely both naked. Covered
in a gravitron.
Both of us covered in peanut butter. Yeah. Somehow. It's like in our hair. It looks like poop, but it's peanut butter. But we get spit out by the gravitron. We roll. All of the peanut butter gets like thrown off of us because of the G-force.
Mm-hmm.
Our clothes come back on somehow. And
they just happen to be like on the ground in front of us, so as we're running.
Yeah, we're running. We're putting it on. Otter has a piece of toast in his mouth like he's an anime student going to class and he's running late. And he's holding Scratch's hand as they sashay down the
alley. Scratch goes, "Otter, no need for the disguise." And he goes to tear your fake mustache off and forgets, "Oh, God, it's real. I'm sorry, I got too wrapped up in the thing that we're doing a performance and we're..."
Well, it's the rest of the guys who happen to have my little... Well, it's not my DVD, but it's my friends! I was going to say it's my DVD player, but it's not my DVD player.
Your
just remember,
DVD player is as good as ours.
It's everybody! Gives Violet a big hug. He's like,
"Oh, my, why are you guys covered in peanut butter? It's been 45 seconds since I saw you."
Violet, it's not
only trace amount of peanut butter. Oh. Clearly, they were just in the gravitron.
We ran very fast.
Yeah. Look, hey, we love it here.
And we think we have a burgeoning career, honestly.
Yeah, we gotta leave, please, before I lose my mind.
Sure thing, I was just...
Our mind. That's Yeri.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys seeing this too?
Yeah, and let's just say we're along for the ride.
Oh.
That wasn't... I really hoped I could come up with something better than that when I said, "let's just say."
That juice kind of is making it hard for us to exist.
Yeah. You're too alert, which, like, dulls our... whatever, like, brain power is operating.
Violet's just looking into the distance right now as this quick exchange is happening.
I listen, guys, I really gotta go. This shit's going down. Bye.
Bye. Oh, Meat Stew, we got scammed. We got glammed.
All
points
of it.
To Scratch's new physique.
And we got jammed.
Mm-hmm. And peanut butter.
We got hammed because we put on a little muscle.
Fuck off, Scratch, he says, and slaps himself a little bit more peanut butter, flings off his chin that was still there.
How'd it go with the Lost Boys?
I like
boys?
The definition. I was actually just about to take you to them.
Oh, what have you been doing this whole time?
I was with them, talking business.
Hey, that's okay.
And they want to see you.
That sounds great.
Why don't you
let's
follow?
Get out of here.
Let's follow me now, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you guys are following him down the cobblestone path. What a crazy day it's been.
Yeah, and Violet has their hand on their Desert Eagle very subtly and casually.
You don't get too far. You're just sort of taking a few steps, and he's just like, "Yeah, no, it was great. I got to tell you all about these guys. They're like my found family. The Lost Boys, you're going to love them. I mean, they're a lot to take in visually, okay? They're not exactly gatos, but you'll learn more about that anyway. But who? Do you know that guy?" Up dead ahead, you see a silhouette. Cowboy hat. Legs akimbo. Dark leather chaps. Leather jacket. Big cowboy alligator boots.
And just behind his leg sits the cat.
The cat known as
Blackout!
stab him in the back.
Yeah, get him.
Why the hell would Blackout lead to him?
Well, Blackout led to Stu. He was just following us.
Blackout is not cool with Dark Cowboy. Dark Cowboy loves Blackout.
Smiling bitch.
And if these trains are going to Chicago at
opposite
times,
one,
going
two,
at different
seven,
speeds.
Eight. Okay. Shall we take a couple minutes before we do our post-show?
Yeah, methinks that's a wreck. I love recording with you guys, man. So I'm just like, dude, holy, it's fun to just freaking
create a picture
and be stupid.
We should be completely silent now for the next 5 minutes while Gannon pees, because otherwise you're going to say so many good stuff.
I was just trying to create some content for the post-show, which I do need.
Also, we won't, if we're all quiet, we'll be able to hear Gannon's piss stream and catch audio,
listen.
Which the fans have been begging for.
All right, I'm going to turn it up here, and I'm going to have the sound of like a waterfall, maybe Niagara Falls, and then I'm going to have somebody like screaming in pain like it hurts when it comes out. But it's also going to sound like plops, like cottage cheese dropping, like there's thick chunks. And then at the end, like a little tiny high-pitched fart, like kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
And then a little
just
right.
And for some reason, there's two people in there.
Yeah. Yes, that was the man who holds the towels in my bathroom. And that gives you mints.
Also farts.
Excellent job, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Tip him a... Well, you don't bring money in there, so you just kind of give him a high five.
One, you tip him. And you show him a little bit of the tip.
Oh, yeah, you got to show him a little bit of
that's
a tip.
That's kind of what he wants by tipping. And you know what? That's that's fine because, frankly, he works for minimum wage. And
that's all. And he's actually, he's a sexual deviant, and he just wants to see the tip.
It's a really, really good deal for me.
Yeah.
And I can't lose it, so please don't offend him.
I'll do my very best. And that note goes for you as well, listener.
Yeah.
You come over and... Meet the bathroom.
What if Sue's name was Meet the Bathroom?
Meet the Bathroom.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you for giving me some partial content. That was really good.
Gutter.